There's a book of top 150 tunes in the Bible. It's called the Book of Psalms. It's a collection of song and prayer lyrics that God's people, Israel, collected together during Old Testament times. Now, we no longer have the music. That has not survived. But the lyrics are found in your Bible. And I'd like you to open up your Bible, if you have it with you today, hope you do, to the Book of Psalms. It's roughly there in the middle of your Bible. We're starting a series today on the Psalms called Top Tunes, the Psalms Remixed. And the opening song, Psalm 1, which we're looking at today, might just as well be titled Life is a Highway. It introduces the book of Psalms to us. It's a great introduction to the book because it compares the two roads, the opposite directions on life's highway. You might say that Psalm 1 is the Surrey voice, God's Surrey voice on life's highway to guide us. Let's first look at Psalm 1 as a whole. We'll read it here together, and when we come to the yellow print, that's your cue to help me out by reading aloud. And then we'll go back over it and look at it in a little detail. It starts off in verse 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like the chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Well, that's the song. Those are the lyrics. And as we see, life's highway is a two-way street. And each one of us is on that highway, and navigating it can get confusing. The question is, are you going in the right direction on life's highway? And if you are, how's your driving? Is it reckless or is it conscientious? Maybe you're headed in the right direction, but you've been stalling out lately. You've been having some trouble, and you need some roadside assistance. Well, Psalm 1 is a terrific way to start off the new year. We begin with our main idea, the one thing that you should remember if you forget everything else. It kind of boils everything down to a single sentence. It's the gist of what we're talking about today. And it goes like this. Follow God's road signs on life's highway. We're going to look at some road signs today. And as we do, we're going to see how important it is to follow those road signs. We're going to look at three signs from God along life's highway. The first one is point number one on your outline. And in the blanks there, it should say, reject the godless road. Now, It dawned on me today after it was too late that I should have put up one of those big red and white signs up on the screen that says wrong way. You know, if you were to turn onto the wrong way of a ramp or something like that, because that's what we see here in this first section. Picture yourself walking down a main street in a charming little town. Maybe something like downtown Royal Oak or downtown Rochester. And many of the shops and restaurants that you're passing, they shout out to you. They're inviting you to come in and stay a while. Well, Psalm 1 begins on the southbound side, you might say, of that very attractive main street. We might call it the Godless Road. Notice again there in verse 1, it says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the company of mockers." You'll notice first here that there are three kinds of people on this godless road. There are the wicked, there are the sinners, and there are the mockers that are mentioned here. Now, the first two terms, wicked and sinners, mean roughly the same thing in the original Hebrew in which this was written. And that can be a little confusing because, you know, today we often think of a wicked person as a horribly bad, evil, despicable person, somebody like a serial killer or Osama bin Laden or Adolf Hitler, somebody who's wicked. But actually, in the Hebrew, this word translated wicked simply refers to a person without God, an unbeliever. It might be better to translate this word godless. He might be a horribly bad person, or he might be your very nice next-door neighbor who always says hi to you and takes good care of his dog and keeps his place looking spiffy. He invites you over for 4th of July barbecue, maybe even shovels your snow when you're on vacation down in Florida during the wintertime. He could be a very nice sort of person, but he just doesn't have time for God and has no real interest in spiritual things. When you bring up the topic, he changes the subject, or he may listen, but really only with half an ear. You really get the idea. He's just, you know, not interested. But he could be a nice person. A good one-word description for him is the second word, the second type of person that's mentioned here, and that is a sinner. And a sinner is simply a person who breaks God's commandments. Now you say, now wait a minute, that sounds like me. Sounds like me too. Aren't we all sinners? Well, yes, absolutely. The Bible teaches this, and personal experience proves it every day, does it not? I mean, who here hasn't ever lied? You? Liar. or coveted, or lusted, or held a grudge against somebody, or failed to love God with all your heart and mind and soul. And those are just a few of the commandments. We all break God's commandments, but here, in Psalm 1, sinner means a person who hasn't turned to God for the remedy for his sin. He hasn't turned in repentance and faith to be forgiven and to live for God. You might say he's stuck in his sin. See, there are two kinds of sinners. There are those who are stuck in their sin. They're just sinners to be that way. And then there are those who are saved. They're the stuck and they're the saved. And the saved, yeah, they're sinners, but they have turned to God. They've turned to Christ to be forgiven. They've done an about face on life's highway. And that makes all the difference. So the wicked and the sinners are talking about basically the same type of person. And then there's the mocker that's mentioned here. And the mocker is a person who makes fun of God's ways, makes fun of God's people. He may even try to talk you out of being a Christ follower. Now, of course, God loves the wicked and the sinners. Thank God he does. He loves the mocker. Christ died for them. And if you're a Christ follower now, you know that at one time you were headed down that way, but no more. You have done an about face. But let's look at what happens on that godless road. There are three activities mentioned here of a traveler on this godless road: walking, standing, and then sitting. You'll notice that there's a progression here. Now, picture yourself walking down that main street. You're considering the various shops and restaurants along the way. You haven't committed yourself. You're just walking. You're considering what's going on here. And so walking kind of stands for considering. You're browsing the shop windows, and you're looking for something there to catch your eye. It may look harmless, but it's walking in this way, walking in step with the wicked. That is the initial sign of danger. You know, we all face temptation every day, but it's when we inwardly begin to consider and entertain the possibility that we begin heading south. What is it that shouts to you as you walk down that road? Is it a greedy desire for money or popularity or to listen to the latest gossip, maybe contribute a little bit to it, or to give in to that temper when you feel it boiling up there? Could it be pornography or a sleazy TV or movie show? Or maybe it's your work or school friends that want you to party with them. When those things occur to you, we're told here to not go down that road. Don't go there. Wrong way. We need to see that in our minds. Wrong way. Mentally. And do that about face. But if you do, soon something grabs your attention. Perhaps a menu displayed outside one of the restaurants, if you will, on the godless road. You stop, you stand there, and you begin considering the various menu items. And this brings us to the second activity, standing. Standing is studying. Your mouth begins to water as you peruse the various selections. Finally, you decide on something, and you go in, and you are seated. You sit down. And sitting brings us to the third activity here, which is indulging. And as you indulge, your life is mocking God. Your activity is mocking God. You're sitting with the mockers. Maybe you don't consider yourself one. You don't call yourself one. But this is what goes on when you give in like this, when you indulge. This is the godless road that the Christ follower is supposed to avoid. Psalm 1 here says it begins with this word, blessed. Blessed is the one who does not walk, he does not stand, he does not sit along this road. The Hebrew word translated blessed is ashrei. It means to be under God's favor. It means to be satisfied. It means to be content. It doesn't necessarily mean your circumstances are good. They may not be good. You can be ashrei and yet be sick or disabled or out of work or abandoned by loved ones or mocked for your faith. We're not talking here just about great circumstances, everything's going rosy, the sun is shining, and you are feeling happy. No, it's better than that. This is an attitude. This is a disposition that enjoys God's favor, and that's always there, rain or shine. Verse 4 says, not so the wicked. No ashrei for them. They are like the chaff that the wind blows away. Or maybe you're thinking, what's chaff? Well, city folks like us may draw a blank when we hear this word. Chaff is the worthless husk that has to be removed to get at the kernels of wheat, the grain inside, sort of like a banana peel. You get rid of the banana peel so you can eat the banana. Well, here, chaff stands for a wasted life. A wasted life, that's what goes in the blanks. The grain has to be separated from the chaff. See, in those days, a farmer, after the harvest, would get all of his wheat piled up on what they called a threshing floor. And here you see a threshing floor right here. It's a flat, hard surface that's outside, and they usually would try to put a threshing floor in a place where it would catch a breeze, maybe in an elevated place or possibly even on a hill. The farmer would take then this shovel kind of a thing. It was called, it looked kind of like a big giant fork, a winnowing fork. You see a modern person here doing this. And he would take up a whole full of this stuff, throw it up into the air, and the breeze, the wind, would catch the chaff and blow it away. And the kernels of grain would fall back down to the threshing floor. And so when he had winnowed the whole pile, what he was left with was a pile of grain, and the chaff had blown away. Well, Psalm 1 says that the wicked are like that chaff. The folks that are headed southbound on life's highway. They may seem important now. They may seem alluring. They may seem very satisfied. But in the end, at the judgment, after the harvest, when winnowing time comes, the grain will be separated from the chaff. The chaff will blow away. And so if you're on this godless road or considering taking a stroll there, don't do it. Turn around. Life is a highway. And one of God's signs on that highway says to you, reject the godless road. Wrong way. Don't go there. Well, let's look at the second sign from God along life's highway. Point number 2 on your outline. This is delight in God's roadmap. On the opposite side of the road is the believer, the godly person. In New Testament terms, this is the Christ follower. Verse 2 says that this person, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on his law, God's law, day and night. The law of the Lord. This refers to God's word, as found in the Holy Scriptures. Now, of course, when this psalm was written, they didn't have the completed Bible yet, but what was written up to that point was referred to in this manner. And what it's saying here is that the Bible is sort of like God's roadmap for life. It's the GPS for life's highway. And the person heading in the right direction on life's highway, we're told, delights in the law of the Lord. It's not boring or burdensome. It's delightful. What's your favorite kind of ice cream? Maybe it's Rocky Road or mint chocolate chip or whatever it may be. You delight in that, don't you? Well, think of that. That's the kind of idea we have here in Psalm 1. He delights in it, like your favorite ice cream. You delight in it, the word of God to a Christ follower. We delight in it so much, we're told, that you meditate on it day and night. The Hebrew word translated meditates here means literally to mutter, as in talking to yourself under your breath. You ever talk to yourself? Some of you are brave enough to admit it. I'll admit it now that some of you have. You know, maybe something's really on your mind and you're trying to churn through it. And so, you know, maybe you're trying to decide something, or somebody said something really nasty to you and you're wondering, how do I respond to that, or what should I have said, or whatever it might be. And you find yourself kind of talking about it, maybe just inwardly or maybe even outwardly to yourself. You're muttering to yourself. Well, that's what the Christ follower is supposed to do with God's word. It's constantly on your mind, in a good way. God's promises found in God's word are encouraging you. God's commands are guiding you. God's warnings are cautioning you. Your mind is saturated with God's word. You delight in God's word so much that you might say you're muttering it to yourself day and night. Now, this doesn't mean that you never do anything but read the Bible 24/7. No, remember, we're talking here about your state of mind. In other words, what's running through your head day and night. I think a good word for this, what the writer is getting at here, is being preoccupied. Preoccupied. You may be able to do something else and do it well and give your attention to that, but God's word is constantly coursing through your mind to help and encourage and guide and warn you. You might say it's the background music in your head. The illustration I think of today is the way many use their smartphones. I see anybody out there using one now? Better not. I'm going to call you out on it. You know, constantly texting and tweeting and Facebooking and emailing or playing a game or maybe consulting a score or whatever it is. You know, when I watch movies, our family, we like to watch movies together, and that's always fun, but I look over and sometimes, you know, everybody's like this during the movie. And we're getting to the good part. And sometimes I can get a little snarky. I put that phone away, you know? Let's watch the movie together. And then I'm pulling mine out, you know? And even when you do put it away, it's still on your mind, isn't it? You know, what's he going to say in response to that text or whatever it might be? We're constantly consulting these things throughout the day as we go about our daily duties. That's how we need to be with God's word. We need to wake up with it and go to bed with it on our minds. And when we do, you know, there is a certain magic about people who live this way. You watch them carefully and you'll see it. They may not be rich or famous, but in life, they're successful. Look what it says in verse 3. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do. People preoccupied with God's word are like well-watered trees. They prosper. That doesn't mean that you become wealthy or perfectly healthy, as some people teach. No, it means that from heaven's perspective, you're a successful person. You're living according to God's word. And like a tree planted by the stream, you're fulfilled. You're a contented person. Because you know God, you know what life is about. And you're excited about serving the Lord. You know, there are many people here at Stony Creek Church who are prosperous in this sense. They're living the Word of God. And it always encourages me, even on a day when I'm maybe struggling a bit. I'll talk to somebody or get an email or see somebody here who's cleaning or whatever, and I just sense that from them. And it's so encouraging. It's like that tree planted by the water. Last August, the world was shaken by the tragic suicide death of Robin Williams. Shocking as it was sad. I can think of few entertainers that were as amazingly gifted as Robin Williams. I mean, we all know he could play roles that were hysterically funny or deadly serious, as well as just about any other actor I've ever watched. Now, I understand that Robin Williams was suffering from severe depression, and I wouldn't play that down for the world. As a fellow struggler on that road of depression for many years, I know that's a whole topic in and of itself. But his life does teach us some vital lessons. And one of those lessons is that spectacular success and fame and money do not guarantee happiness. If a person is not whole on the inside, nothing on the outside can make up for it. I've talked my share of people out of committing suicide, even at the last minute. And I know that ultimately only Jesus Christ can provide the spiritual and mental foundation for a healthy self-concept and worldview. No therapy beats solidly biblical Christian counseling. And only Christ can ultimately heal depression. And following Christ involves this mindset, this meditating on God's word. Maybe you're a new Christ follower, and reading the Bible is all new to you. Maybe it's intimidating to you. Or maybe you're not yet a Christ follower and you've never even cracked a Bible. And it's scary to think of doing that. Or maybe you're a Christian who struggles to stay in God's Word regularly because you find yourself maybe bored or confused or just too many other things in the day. Well, let me encourage you to get into it daily with some good helps. There's so much today that's available at our fingertips. Check out, for example, the YouVersion app on your smartphone. You can read or even listen to the Bible in any translation of your choice. I mean, you can have it, you know, playing in the car while you're driving, and some of these translations provide different voices for the different parts and sound effects and all this kind of thing. I mean, it's terrific. And there are numerous reading plans that you can plug into to help you. And of course, these things are available at the Christian bookstore as well. Check out our Sunday 9:30 Bible teaching here, right here at Stony Creek Church. We're going through the book of Genesis right now. We do a little more in depth and we have some discussion. It's more of a classroom kind of a setting at that. Or check out one of our small groups. You can go on our website and check out that, where we discuss the Bible in that kind of a setting. But most of all, find a time and of day and a study routine that works for you. And stick with it. And when you begin to become preoccupied with God's Word, you're going to discover that joy of life. You're going to find what it means to serve the Lord and to live your life like a tree planted by the stream. Life is a highway, and one of the signs that God says to you is delight in God's roadmap. Let's look quickly at the third sign along God's highway, and that is ponder the two destinations. Picture yourself hovering thousands of feet above life's highway, kind of the Google Earth perspective. Now, that's what we find in verse 6 here. It's God's perspective because he's looking at the two destinations. It says, "For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction." The ends of the two ways here are obvious in this verse. But, you know, when you're driving on that road, you don't see the end of the road. You don't see the destination. It may seem that, hey, those guys that are heading south, they look like they're having the time of their life. That's easy street. And here I am trying to serve the Lord, and I have to deny myself, and it can get hard, and people are making fun of me, and I'm kind of the minority at work or school or whatever it is. But from the Google Earth perspective, God's viewpoint in verse 6, you see the ends of the road. They're two destinations. And I think we really need to ponder this. We need to keep this in mind as we travel this road because it's an encouragement to us. Notice first in verse 6, it says, "The Lord watches over the way of the righteous." The Hebrew word translated "watches over" conveys this strong sense of loving care and closeness. Sort of like God hovering over you in a helicopter as you're driving, or an angel protecting you to keep constant communication duty, to warn you, to give you roadside assistance if you need it. We might sum this up with the words total care. Total care. This is true for every Christ follower, whether you feel it or not, it's there. And it's always with you. He is always with you. God has promised to never forsake you. Now, on the other hand, those headed in the other direction on life's highway find that the road ends suddenly with a steep cliff. Verse 6 says that the road that way leads to destruction. And destruction here means wreckage, crash, and burn. We've all seen vehicles that were involved in terrible smash-ups. And they're good for nothing except just, you know, to be hauled away to the junkyard and to see if there are any spare parts that could be salvaged there. Well, this is sort of a picture of the life of the ungodly. When an unbeliever, a person without Christ, a non-Christ follower dies, that person is destroyed. It doesn't mean they cease to exist, but they're ruined, they're wrecked, because they cannot fulfill the purpose that God has for them. It's like spoiled food. It's a tragic end. This is hell. And it's so unnecessary because God paid the way for all people to be saved through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and rose from the dead. Anyone who turns around on life's highway to follow Jesus by faith will not be destroyed, but will have eternal life. And so, follow God's signs on life's highway. You ever feel tempted to turn around and head south? I do. The world can paint a pretty nice picture. That southbound road looks pretty sweet sometimes. And the narrow road that we're on can seem pretty lonely and rough and painful at times. That's why we need to regularly ponder these two destinations, to remember that the godly road leads to unimaginable glory and the other leads to wreckage. Everyone here is on life's highway. The question is, which way are you traveling? Have you come to the point in your journey where you've done that U-turn, that about face, where you've turned to Jesus, you've repented of your sin, you've put that behind you, and embraced Him as your Lord and Savior? If you haven't, you can do that today. You can about face today. And if you'd like to learn more about that, I invite you to come down here and talk with one of the members of our pastoral prayer team. How about your driving? Maybe you're on the right road, but can you honestly say that you're prospering? You're living under God's blessing. I'm not asking if your circumstances are good. They may not be. You may be facing a tough trial right now. I'm asking if you're following the Lord on life's highway and you're living in His blessing. If not, maybe you need some roadside assistance today. Maybe you need to talk with somebody who can share with you, pray with you, and give you some encouraging counsel. You can do that too here right as the service concludes. We're going to end our service in just a moment or so. We're going to have our offering, ask the ushers to prepare for that. And let's talk to the Lord. Father in heaven, thank you for the book of Psalms, these top tunes. I pray, Lord, that as we begin and as we ponder what we've learned today, that you would encourage us on the road, either to keep on trucking in that right direction, or if we're going the wrong direction, to turn around, because you care for us and you want what's best for us. I pray for every person here. Maybe there's a person who's been struggling with a difficult temptation lately and is just tired and discouraged. I pray for that person. I pray for all of us that we would enjoy the prosperity that you have for us, even as we navigate the difficult road. I pray your blessing on this offering. May it be a true act of worship in Jesus' name. Amen.